Welcome back to Living Our Breast Lives, episode 21, a podcast not only about two women thriving with metastatic breast cancer, but also self-love, appreciation, and an overall awakening to this beautiful gift we call life. Each episode, we will be focusing on a different theme that will highlight each episode. Please don't forget to not only tune in, but to also subscribe and review.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning into our podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. My name is Brittany, and with me is Ren.
Welcome back, everyone, and happy October 13th, which is officially Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day. Woo! This day sheds so much importance because it is our day, bitches.
And I know you have so much you want to talk about, but I need to tell you what happened to me in my Uber ride this week.
Okay, I love a good story.
So I just am getting done leaving, having my treatment, and my Uber driver, I get in the car and is asking why I don't drive to my appointment. And I basically was like, I'm a breast cancer patient and I never know how I'm going to feel when I leave. So I Uber. And she goes, what'd you do to get that? Oh. I was like, what did I do to get, like, I didn't even know how to like answer that. And she goes, like, did you like a lot of sugar? Did you eat a lot of sugar in your diet?
Are you messing with me right now?
No, I'm being serious. Like, she literally was asking me like about my diet and all that. And I said, no, that's not it. And then she goes, oh, so do you have that gene or something? I was like, actually, surprisingly, I don't. I am BRCA negative, and my mom, she got breast cancer after me. She's BRCA negative. Like, she goes, huh. And she's like stupefied on it. Then she starts to tell me, and this is why I'm like, okay, grain of salt, that I need to find a crop circle because crop circles have the most nutritious vegetables and fruits that come from them. And that is why the government doesn't want us believing there really are crop circles.
You have got to be shitting me.
No, no. And I'm literally, thank God I had a mask on, you know, because I'm literally like smirking under it. Like, all right, lady, what else you got for me? Although I shouldn't have said that, because then she continues on to tell me how she's felt a lump in her breast for the past year. But she's not going to go to the doctor because the doctor will probably, you know, order testing that she needs done. And she's quite confident that the lump in her breast is because she eats chocolate. So I'm like, so you're getting on me because I eat sugar, but you think the lump in your breast is from chocolate. Fine. That's fine. That's her thoughts. But then she goes on to tell me, maybe I don't actually have breast cancer. It's because I myself too enjoy chocolate. I was just like, this ride, I cannot get out of this car fast enough. Like, I need to get home.
I have real tears streaming down my face right now.
Yeah, my dad had other words. And then the moment I mentioned crop circles, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to.
And the fact that you were trapped in this woman's car while she is feeding you this bullshit. This is what we call a cancer muggle, friends. I don't know which episode, you know, Brittany and I recorded where we kind of like explained what a cancer muggle is, but I believe that this is, you know, exactly what you experienced.
I think it's nice you pointed that out, so I actually know what indeed a muggle is firsthand. But at the same time, I was just like, what type of stuff am I going to hear next?
Like, it almost just makes you feel bad. You know, like, lady, if there's a lump, like, were you at least able to get some, you know, education in there and just try and persuade her to maybe have it go and get looked at? I mean, it's October too.
Because when I told her, like, I ignored my lump thinking that, you know, my mom had cystic breast and it was like probably dense because of my love of coffee and caffeine and chocolate. She literally then made it seem like maybe I don't actually have a cancerous tumor in my breast. It's just there because of chocolate. They did a biopsy to prove it was cancer, and maybe if you have this biopsy, you could find out if you have a chocolate tumor in your breast or cancer. Oh, well, then there was this. The fact that women, you know our bodies best. We can bring life to this world through children. And that she's not a witch because she knows her body.
No.
Yeah, no, that was there too.
And I was okay.
I tried to say, you know what? Witches were just modern day healers, you know? And then she's like, and you know what? They're all women because we know our bodies. I was like, oh my God.
Maybe this is further than a cancer muggle.
This is
This is something that I hope to never experience.
This is something I hope she gets treatment for.
Yeah. I if it were me in the backseat of that car, you handled it much better than I would have, my friend.
Yeah. She wasn't a threat to me. So that was okay.
I know. And then you're sitting there, right? And it's like Breast Cancer Awareness Month, like good old October. And you're like, this would happen to me during the month of October.
It was bad. But why don't, like, speaking of that, like, why don't you share what Breast Cancer Month means to you? Because we know it's essentially Pinktober.
It is good old Pinktober. So I know we both have a lot of thoughts on the month. So with Living Our Breast Lives Instagram, we've been doing another segment. You know, what does the month of October mean to you as, you know, a thriver? And so I figured I'll share mine. And then Britt, if you want to share yours, you know, that's cool too. And then there are about one or two that I also would like to share. And I think it's just to get that perspective, you know, out there, especially because today is October 13th, Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day. So let's do it. Okay. So here's what I wrote. When I think of October, I would like to think of advocacy, awareness, and inclusion. In the midst of all the pink, beauty and perseverance also lie within our ribbon, the pink, the green, and the teal. We must remain of importance. We must remain talked about. We must continue to fund MBC research, not just in October, but always. Our lives depend on it. Seeing pink everywhere in October is triggering because it's a reminder that we are no longer pink and never will be again. It's a constant reminder that this situation is no longer temporary. It is lifelong, yet for some reason, severely underfunded.
So what do I think about Pink October? Well, I didn't put it as poetically as you, but I would say it's amazing how much attention, support, and fundraising is done for breast cancer during the month of October. Now I struggle to not have resentment. The amount of pinkwashing is sickening, and the fact that people profit off of a survivor's suffering. And sadly, aside from the 13th, October seems to be more about survivorship than thrivership. Pink October highlights the already present community, the sisterhood of those warriors who are in the midst of or have completed treatment, but it neglects to spotlight those whose battle is a lifelong endeavor. It is because of this, I still get told I will beat this and I just need to keep fighting, which as you and I both know, the fight is forever. It's never mm-hmm. ending. It doesn't matter how hard you fight. You're not going to beat this until we have a cure.
Considering you and I both put, you know, that it's a constant reminder that the situation is not temporary and that it is lifelong. I mean, I really would say that that's the biggest thing that, you know, separates the survivors from the thrivers if somebody was to ask me. And I just, you know, it's very telling that you and I both put that in our prompts. So I have two more that I'd like to read. This one I thought was very interesting because it highlights both sides. She wrote, I have different feelings about the month of October. On one hand, it's great for people with breast cancer and for survivors to help bring awareness and to raise money towards fighting this disease. It's awesome that it encourages women to be proactive about their bodies by doing self-breast exams and scheduling mammograms, some things they may not have thought about or remembered to do if the whole month wasn't devoted to breast cancer awareness. So without a doubt, this cause has saved countless lives, which is great. However, that being said, as a thriver, I feel like somewhat of an outsider and not really a part of this club. I wish there was more awareness and more funding for MBC and not just one day devoted to raising money for those of us with stage four. I am hopeful that one day Breast Cancer Awareness Month will mean more than just pink ribbons, pink boxing gloves, and prevention, and that it will start to bring an equal focus on the stage four thrivers and finding better treatments and, God willing, a cure for us.
That was really well written. I really like that. But one of the things, you know, is that we do all this fundraising for early stage breast cancer and research, but a lot of people end up metastasizing, what is it, like 30% or so? It's like we're funding early stage, all this money towards early stage, when like 30% of those early stagers are going to become a late stage. And when they become a late stage, it's one of those things, aren't you going to wish you would have fundraised for the stage that will essentially kill you? You know, the metastatic stage. I don't know. I have so many mixed emotions. And it's, I guess, in a way, October's therapeutic as we come together as our metastatic community in general and have open discussions about it.
So you actually took the words right out of my mouth, because it's right. Okay, so let me try and get my thoughts out. So how easy is it to divide survivors and thrivers because of how different like each diagnosis is? But piggybacking off of what you're saying, are we really that different when you hear that number, you know, 30% of early stage survivors will later develop metastasis? Because my thoughts are, funding for research benefits us all. Increasing the funding for MBC research is the only way to develop new treatments for the current thrivers like us, and then the 30% of the future thrivers. So it's like, this for me is kind of like the importance behind like research, not ribbons, because the commonality here is the need for funding research for metastatic breast cancer.
It's almost kind of like weird, because I remember when I talked to my mom, she was like, well, what if we fund early stage, then we never have to worry about having people get to late stage. And I have two thoughts on that. One, you know, like 10% of us or so are diagnosed de novo, which is metastatic from the get-go. So if you're putting all the research money to early stage, then those who happen to be diagnosed out the gate with metastatic won't have any research done to helping cure them. And then two, if we know that 30% of people are going to become metastatic, why not work your way backwards and try to find a cure for the stage that will kill you, not the stage that we already have treatments in? Because those treatments, yeah, you know, some of them could be improved so that your chance of remission or reoccurrence decreases the older you get or lasts longer, but ultimately, we need to start funding the one that's going to kill you. And even if I didn't have metastatic breast cancer, I feel like I would think that way about any type of stage four cancer. We need to work backwards from what we're doing right now.
No, I agree. And it's crazy, because even after finishing recommended treatment, like, you can still metastasize, whether it's months or even decades later.
I mean, you were like, days later.
probably like 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just mind blowing.
So in addition to that, I also came up with just a few facts that I thought were important to mention today. So the first one is, of course, 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer in their life, which is terrifying to say the least.
And I'm no statistic buff, but I would almost feel like that number is becoming more like 1 in 7, 1 in 6. Because I feel like the amount of women being diagnosed with breast cancer is becoming absurdly high, unless it's just because I'm really noticing it in the younger population of women versus, you know, the later aged population. But
it's it feels like that. I agree. I don't know how like outdated, you know, this is, but I definitely could agree with you there. We already talked about, you know, 30% of early stage survivors will later develop metastasis. It could be months or even decades later. We talked about 90% of MBC patients were initially diagnosed early stage, where 10% were diagnosed de novo, which, you know, is, you're an example of that. Mm-hmm. Only 10% of breast cancer cases are hereditary. There are women diagnosed that have no family history of breast cancer at all. The inherited mutations are BRCA1 and 2, And for those listening, like Brittany and I, we're both BRCA negative and we both sit here, you know, with metastatic breast cancer.
That's where like people who have like no history, like I remember someone saying, oh, well, I tested negative, so I don't need to have a mastectomy or hysterectomy depending on what they want to do. And it's like, well, you don't, but if you have a high occurrence in your family. Mm-hmm. So if you would feel more comfortable having a mastectomy preventatively, even though you tested negative, do what you feel best for you, because just because you're negative doesn't mean you're not going to get it. I mean, we're here sitting as proof.
Exactly. And again, I said this last year because I remember not handling it as well last year, but you know, if I happened to test positive, then I at least would have been granted preventative scans. But because I tested negative,
no scans for you.
Yeah, exactly. The health insurance companies were like, nope, no scans for you. And so, you know, I'm assuming that's why the cancer continued to grow and grow and grow for all the years that it did until it metastasized, because there were no, you know, there were no images of it taking place. So yeah, those were just a few, you know, facts that I thought that I would read off. But more importantly, I think it's time to talk to our listeners about, you know, if they want to donate to metastatic breast cancer, where and how they can do it. So I will start. Did you know, firstly, this is, you know, to top this all off, did you know only about 2-5% of overall breast cancer research in the United States goes to MBC research? Medivivor is the only nonprofit organization that solely funds MBC research through a scientific peer review process. This is so neat. So 100% of all the donations go into MBC specific research grants, which eventually leads to new treatments for all the different subtypes. So one thing that I found really cool about that is that apparently those on the board with Medivivor, they rented a van and they decorated it. It says Medivivor. It's awesome. And what they did last year in 2021 is they traveled to all the different states to follow up and kind of like check out the progress of each research grant that was given out. And so like, if you go on their Instagram, you can see like, oh, okay, you know, this week we were in Minneapolis, you know, the following week they were in Texas. And what they're doing is they're just essentially seeing where their money is going and how far along that research process is.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And you know what? It's like, you really think about it, Medivivor, it just saves countless lives each day, because look at where the funding is going, you know? Oh, and another thing. So I actually just attended they like to call it a Metzgerade gala. And North Carolina actually just had their very first one. And the gala raised $270,000 and all of the proceeds went to Medivivor.
That's a good chunk of change.
Yeah. So like my thought process is, who knows, like that $270,000 could be given to some brilliant individual somewhere out there in the United States. And that person can take this terminal illness and turn it into a manageable chronic one. Wouldn't that be life-changing for so many of us?
They're actually already calling it chronic. So I don't know that you would call it a chronic one. I would say cure it.
Interesting. But there's a big difference between terminal and chronic. Chronic is something that you can manage.
Right. And they're saying right now, metastatic breast cancer is more of a chronic condition.
Okay. Well, that's bullshit.
I know.
Like, I wouldn't agree with that at all. Like, maybe that's somebody who doesn't have this disease.
That's oncology.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, no, I'm good with, you know, calling it what it is. Right. Okay. So another way that you can donate to Medivivor is through Light Up MBC, which is actually happening tonight. Light Up MBC, it basically went from an awareness campaign to a fundraising platform by producing a live broadcast for the world, you know, to hear stories directly from the MBC community. And like the most beautiful part about it is they all are talking on camera, right? But they're like standing in front of illuminated landmarks. So there's pink, green, teal, and they're sharing their beautiful stories and then also like generating donations for metastatic breast cancer.
That's so awesome. And I can't wait to see all the different structures lit up and all of the pretty pink, green, and teal So the show is designed to educate, inspire, and raise critical funds for NBC Research. And for the past 4 years, they've done exactly that. I, for one, will be putting up a link to MetaViber probably on my Facebook page, and hopefully people support it. I don't know who has social media, but I've always done MetaViber as a fundraiser on my Facebook page for my birthday and usually in October so people can see it, you know, and maybe donate. So there's just a thought for everyone out there if they want to do that and get MetaViber seen. If not, totally get it. And then, so tonight, when you tune into Light Up NBC, it's at 9 p.m. on MetaViber.org. If you're looking for more information, Tammy Bowling is the founder of Light Up NBC, and she is actually going to be sharing her story on our Instagram page today, and all of the details will be there.
Thank you to Tammy, if you're listening, for sharing all that information with our following.
Ren, you didn't do this last year. You need to talk about Amazon Smile, because I didn't even know until you told me, and then I needed to tell all my family and all my friends about it.
Yes, Amazon Smile. This is the coolest thing. So this would probably be the last and final step if you wanted to donate to metastatic breast cancer. So there is a way to generate individual funds to MetaViber without actually having to donate. That's the coolest part. No money out of your pocket. So what you do is, instead of using your regular Amazon account, you use Amazon Smile. And then you designate your charity to MetaViber Research and Support Inc. And from there, every purchase that you make on Amazon, I believe 5% will go to MetaViber. So it's just consistently generating funds from what you are purchasing through your Amazon account.
Everybody shops on Amazon now.
Yes, everything. Like, I won't even walk into the stores anymore, right? I'm just shopping on Amazon. And so share with your friends, share with your family. If we can just have as many people as possible, you know, with this as their charity, think about how much money could go to metastatic breast cancer research.
So the last thing that, well, there's probably multiple sections to this, but I want to talk on is early detection. This notion that early detection saves lives. It's everywhere. And yes, it does. And it can save lives. But what about those women and men whose cancer has already metastasized to other parts of their body and are no longer detectable on mammogram? Mm-hmm. Or let me even say that it never was detectable on mammogram because, for example, I have a friend that I met on this journey that actually had back pain. And it was a spinal tumor, but when they biopsied it, it had breast cancer cells, but she never actually had a tumor in the breast, Wow. But she had metastatic breast cancer. That is a perfect case of cancer cells metastasizing without a breast tumor that was even large enough to be detected on a mammogram, because it wasn't even there. Like, there was never a breast tumor.
Wow.
And, you know, women under 40, such as us, we have extremely dense breasts that, you know, a mammogram might miss certain things on.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And this is my thing. I know, putting my x-ray hat on right now, that there are 3D mammography machines right now. If you know a 3D mammography unit is going to give you so much more detail, I really think that institutions, hospitals, hey, let's even make it maybe the government should allow or mandate that different facilities get rid of the old mammography machines and 3D ones. Great. And let me say this, if you still think something is up after you've had a mammogram, pushed for the 3D mammo, ask for an MRI of your breast. That is gonna show the tissue better than the mammogram will, especially if you're younger. Like, I'm so tired of healthcare and certain doctors, not all, dictating our health. We are women. We know our body best. You know, advocate for yourself.
No, I mean, you nailed it. And with this Instagram segment that I'm doing, a lot of women actually came forward and said there were so many doctors that actually turned them away because all of the doctors were like, you're too young. It can't be breast cancer.
It's almost like getting to the point, and I know this with a couple people, that they basically felt like the doctors weren't listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically, and I don't want to say lied, but they lied and said, I have breast pain. Like they had to add an additional symptom that was basically right. false just so they could be heard and maybe get the attention that they needed. And I'm sorry, how hard is it to write an order for something, you know what I mean? And put mm-hmm. a patient's mind at ease about it and know like, you know what, better safe than sorry. Because you know what, insurance companies, heaven forbid it's an actual cancer diagnosis, you're going to be shelling a lot more out in that chemotherapy, radiation, whatever other long-term medications will be needed than just issuing someone a mammogram, MRI, ultrasound, whatever you have it.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And it's like, yes, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, pink everything, and early detection, it does save lives, but it does not save all lives. And early detection, it can't just stop at that. It just can't, because there is so much more to it. The month of October needs to be about more than just early detection and damn pink products.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we should probably talk about pink washing.
Yay. Think before you pink.
The weird thing about pink washing is I initially thought, and I'm not saying I'm wrong with this, but it was kind of one of those things like all of a sudden there's hummus containers and t-shirts and just like the most random stuff that has a pink ribbon on it that is going to get your attention. And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to buy this because I'm supporting breast cancer. No, no, you're not. A lot of the pink washing, AKA companies that exploit your health for personal gain, and are companies that promote products that contain harmful chemicals that contribute to the diagnosis of breast cancer. That was what like I was totally unaware of, is that some of these companies putting that pretty little pink ribbon on their products actually are contributing to breast cancer diagnoses because of the chemicals in them. Yep. Like mind blown. The overbearing pink, the catchy slogans, the pushing early detection throughout the month isn't enough. These things are only a band-aid on a much more deep-rooted issue.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. You know, when I'm out and about and I see something with a pink ribbon, there are times where I just want to be like, okay, yeah, all right, where's the money going? I want to know specifically. Danny and I went to a diner the other day, and it was something as simple as blow pops, right? But it had like a breast cancer ribbon on it, and they were selling each lollipop for $1 and saying, you know, that the funds were going to breast cancer. And I literally went and I spoke to like the woman behind the counter, and I said, can you tell me where this money is actually going? Well, first of all, she looked at me like a deer in headlights, because I'm assuming she's not used to people asking her that question. And sadly enough, secondly, she had no idea where the funds were going. So for me, in my head, I'm like, okay, well, I guess they're taking this money and they are just putting it in their damn pockets.
Well, I will say I was pleasantly surprised. I had a similar incident where I saw a pink drink. I think it was called like Raise a Glass to Her. And there was the pretty pink ribbon. And I was thinking, are we just putting this on the menu because it catches my eye and you think I'm going to order the drink? So I actually did ask the waitress, and she said that 100% of the proceeds from the drink went to the Logan Foundation. Like she knew right away.
See, that's amazing.
Yeah. I almost got put back in my place because I was almost ready on this poor waitress to have like a Rottweiler at her, like ready to, you know, fight back. And there was no reason for it, because I was like, all right, way to go.
You know what, Britt? Maybe if there's enough people like us that are really just like calling it, you know, out for what it is, maybe companies, or at least like, I don't know, big companies, small companies, maybe they'll think twice.
And I think we need to do that too, then, with these stupid slogans that we see. Like, I honestly think that some of them need to be run by breast cancer patients. And you know what? Screw that. Make it the stage for breast cancer patients, because the Save the Tatas, for example, and other ignorant, I can't even tell you how many type of ignorant t-shirts I've seen during breast cancer month.
It's awful.
So disgusting.
And I'll leave you with this too, because Save the Tatas, it's, you know, I look at my chest and my tatas were not saved. how many other women look at their chests, you know, whether they're flat, whether they have, they've had a unilateral mastectomy, whatever it is, a lot of women, early stage or late stage, their tatas were not saved. So it is an inappropriate, uneducated slogan that does not need to be used, especially during Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
And even though I still have my original tatas, I think I've talked before on this podcast how getting a cancer diagnosis, all of a sudden, like you go through these stages where you're like, oh my gosh, I want to do anything to save my breast. Oh my God, not a mastectomy. Oh no, at least can we do nipple sparing? Oh my God, we can't spare my nipple. I mean, I literally went through that because I was diagnosed stage 2, stage 3 before I had the PET scan to confirm the stage 4 diagnosis. So while it was a short period, I went through that terrifying realization, like, no, everything's going to be gone. I was supposed to have a modified radical mastectomy, like have the lymph nodes, everything removed. But I got to that point that like, just get the fucking cancer out of me. Like, sorry for swearing. I think people can understand it. Like, I don't care about my breast. Like, I care more about living than my breast. So those are also ignorant shirts too, because there's a lot of women, and yes, it does get to, you know, it takes a while to get there, that it's like, you just want to live. Like, my breasts are trying to kill me, so I want them gone. Like, I'm not having a mastectomy at this moment, but it doesn't mean I still don't think that at times, like, you know, when the cancer was gone from my liver for a hot minute, like that can happen again, by the way.
It will. Yeah. Let's keep manifesting that.
Manifest it. But it was like, cool. The only place that there's cancer left is in my breast. Like, take it. So then I'm cancer free again. So it's just, yeah. I mean, we could go on for hours about that. But
we can. We really can. It's frustrating. It's, I don't know.
I almost feel like anyone who's seen something really ignorant on a t-shirt or a slogan or a meme, send it to us on Living Our Breast Lives, because I would love to make a compilation of all the things that should never be said to breast cancer patients and then just like post it, like make some type of slogan, advertise it. Do not say this. Remove this from your vocabulary.
Yep. And even just coming up with something that's like, firstly, make sure if you're donating, know where the hell you are donating. Know ahead of time where the funds are going. But also at the end of the day, 30% of early stage survivors will end up with a metastatic cancer diagnosis. And so everybody benefits when funding goes to research. So if you want to be a part of making a difference for all breast cancer survivors and thrivers, please, please, please really look at donating to MetaViver, whether it is through Light Up NBC, which is happening tonight at 9 o'clock, whether it is through Amazon Smile, which we talked about changing your charity, or whether it's, of course, through the MetaViver website, or if you would even like to start your own masquerade gala. These are all ways that you can donate to a really great cause. And that cause is our damn lives, because we deserve to live long, fulfilled lives just like everybody else.
Well, I had a takeaway, but I mean, that was pretty damn good.
I was in my feels there for a second, man.
Sure. So we're promoting metastatic breast cancer awareness, but I seem to feel my takeaways are more like promoting Maya Angelou, and everyone should read her work. So my takeaway was, I learned a long time ago, the wisest thing I can do is be on my own side, be an advocate for myself and others like me. So I definitely think we are doing that. I definitely hope that today's episode helped with that as well. So thank you so much for tuning into our podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Living Our Breast Lives, where we will share podcast updates, special dates, educational resources, and of course, health updates for those following our MBC journeys. Have questions, comments, or anything else you would like answered on our podcast? Send us a message on Instagram. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And as always, choose kindness. Someone may look fine on the outside, but you never know who's actually struggling on the inside. Until next time, don't forget to live your breast lives.
God bless everyone. Happy October 13th.